Hurley Riley grew up on Delery Street in the Lower Ninth Ward, cradled in the sound of his uncles, saxophonist David Lasty, trumpeter Melvin Lasty, and drummer Walter Poppy Lasty, rehearsing their jazz band.
A combo called the Lasty Brothers Combo. And, you know, that's the first time I heard moaning, like, you know, Art Blakey's The Jazz Messengers. I heard a lot of that music, but I heard it live because my uncles were rehearsing it in the house. And it was at my grandparents' house, 1807 Delery Street in Lower Nine. And they would be rehearsing the music in the house. And my mother tells me that sometimes I'd be crying and they would just roll my crib into the room where they were rehearsing, and I would kind of be my pacifier, kind of shut me up, you know. So the music was always a part of me, you know. I didn't, you know, a lot of my friends asked me, man, how did you learn how to play jazz? I said, well, I don't know, it was just there. And, you know, the feeling and the groove of the music was always there for me. And, you know, my uncle's just, you know, it was just like somebody asked you, when did you learn to talk? You don't know. You just, you know, someone spoke to you and you heard it and then you gave it back.
Was the drum the first thing that you played as a kid?
Yes, the drums. Well, the first thing I played was my grandmother's pots and pans. And then, you know, eventually, yeah, I got to the drums. And, you know, and most of my drumming playing, you know, in my early years was in the church, you know, because my grandfather was, you know, he was a deacon in the church, and he was like one of the first people to bring the drums into the church in New Orleans. So when he'd play, you know, I'd be sitting there like, you know, just like a child, man. I'd just be waiting, twiddling my thumbs, waiting, you know. I'm in the spirit of the music as well, but I want to get to the drums. And when he got up from the drums to speak or something, then that was my opportunity, and I'd sit down and let me play. And, you know, he would always, you know, sometimes he'd fuss at me because, you know, as a young kid growing up, I'm hearing all kind of music on the radio. I'm hearing Fats Domino, and I'm hearing James Brown. I'm hearing all these, you know, all these different kind of grooves. And so the playing in the church was really my only chance to get to play the drums. So sometimes I'd be playing the drums and, you know, playing the church groove and that kind of thing. And then I'd switch over and play like a James Brown Cold Sweat. My grandfather would say, boy, don't do that. That's not the place for this. Don't do that in here. You just play time, you know. So I'd go back. And so it was a great experience also. And it taught me that, you know, how to... there are certain styles of music that's functional with that works with certain styles, you know. And I've been very fortunate to play a lot of different styles of music. I'm related also to Jesse Hill, the guy who made Oop-Oop-A-Doo, and anyway, who's Trombone Shorty's grandfather. So we're related. And so, and then he was, my Uncle Jesse was very tight with Professor Longhair. Professor Longhair was kind of cool with my family. So they would come, you know, come to the house. Professor Longhair had come to the house, and he played the piano every now and then. And, you know, Dr. Johnny, he would also come to the house and play, you know. And but Professor Longhair, he had put a mark in my grandmother's piano. Because when he played, he would kick the side of the piano with, you know, with the side of his foot. And he, you know, playing after a while, you know, he just kind of put a gouge in it. And so before Katrina, that piano was still there. It was, you know, and, you know, you could still see the marks where he would play it. And so it was a lot of guys who, Oliver Morgan was in Lower Ninth Ward. He made Who Shot the La-La. There was Fats Domino, of course. It was, you know, and Freddie Domino, and, you know, and a lot of guys. You know, there was a lot of music in Lower Nine, and you know, I was very fortunate that my grandparents' house was a house that always had some music and had a piano, so it was always some stuff going on. So I got to hear a lot of different music as a boy growing up.
Hurley Riley got piano lessons at 10, took up trumpet at 12, and in high school got solid grounding in music fundamentals and theory from great public school music educator Yvonne Bush. Being a professional musician was his sole ambition.
I never dreamed of having another job. because my Uncle Melvin was really my mentor. You know, he and Harold Baptiste started the record company, AFO, and all that stuff together. But anyway, he was my mentor, and I saw him working as a musician and really, you know, enjoying his life. He passed away at 42, but I still was enough. I saw enough of him and also my uncles who, you know, my Uncle David and my Uncle Walter were musicians too, but they had other day jobs, you know. But my Uncle Melvin he was only a musician. That's all he did. And so I wanted to be like him, you know. And so music was always a part of me, and I always wanted to be a professional musician, always. And so I'm really living a childhood dream.
In addition to the example of his uncle, Melvin Lasty, Herlin Reilly got good guidance in the how-tos of being a professional musician from guitarist, banjoist, and Fairview Baptist Church brass band founder Danny Barker.
Danny Barker talked to us. Myself, you know, I was a part of the Fairview Baptist Church Christian band as boys with Leroy Jones, Dr. Michael White, and Tuba Fats, and Lucian Barberin. And I mean, I'm just naming a few, but Danny Barker was such a strong mentor, and he told us about how to communicate with the people, how to look professional when you're on a job, how to, you know, respect the bandstand, act like you're enjoying what you're doing. Because when you know, and my Uncle Poppy told me this, he said, you know, when you, as a musician, you're a public servant. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, you know, if you people have made provisions to get to you and, you know, bought a ticket or got a babysitter or got a new outfit or whatever they did to come and see you play, you owe it to them to give your best. And so those are things I took from, you know, my mentors. When I'm on the bandstand, when I'm in front of you, you know, I respect my audience, and I respect them. I respect you enough that I will give you everything I have.
From 1982 to 87, Herlin Reilly worked with legendary pianist Ahmad Jamal, then began a 17-year tenure with Wynton Marsalis in Wynton's quintet, sextet, septet, and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. He's toured extensively with McCoy Tyner, and is now on another go-round with Ahmad Jamal. You can catch him leading his own band frequently at Snug Harbor and other venues around the Crescent City. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.